Well, hello everybody and welcome. I'm so pleased to let you know and introduce our guest today, who is Michelle Campbell-Scott. And again, I'm delighted to have her with us because she is the author of a number of best-selling books, at which most of you here will resonate with that since you either have books or you're in the process of writing books. Michelle is a former teacher, an IT trainer, and who then turned her attention first to course writing and then to writing books. And she's also a premium instructor at Udemy. And your home is in the UK, is that right, Michelle?
It is, yes, it is. Which you'll be probably able to tell by my accent.
Yes, it's lovely. We love your accent. Oh. What part of the UK do you live in?
I'm in the northwest. So I'm on the northwest coast, really, near the ocean, about a half-hour journey from Liverpool, which
is
the city of Liverpool, yes.
Okay, well, wonderful. So I found Michelle because I know what a great resource Goodreads is for authors, and I've had an account there for a while, but I'll confess I have not used it to the degree that I really should be. And for all of us on the call, it's a great resource. And when I did some research, Michelle's name came up. I mean, she's written a book all about it, and I thought, wow, I want an expert on the program today who can share with us what do we need to do with Goodreads. So again, Michelle, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to be here.
It's great to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Okay. So let's get right into it. How long have you been involved with Goodreads? What got you involved? And let's just start with that.
Okay. Well, I guess I joined Goodreads probably over a year ago. But like you, I was just on there. I didn't really know what to do with it. How I came to it was quite interesting because I was on Facebook, and a friend of mine who I really respect, she's a librarian, she loves books, we have a lot to talk about, and a little thing came up from her to say that she'd reviewed a book over on Goodreads, and it was Eric Ives' biography of Anne Boleyn, and I love the Tudor period, so I clicked on the link and it took me to Goodreads, and I thought, oh, I joined this thing ages ago, and it started to ring author bells as well. Because I thought, if I saw her review, what about if other people were reviewing my books, if they were on Goodreads? All their Facebook friends would see them. Now, most of the people I know have hundreds of friends on Facebook, and if they've connected their Goodreads account to their Facebook, your book, your reviews are going to be seen by many, many people who wouldn't normally see them. So I started investigating it as an author instead of as a reader. And I was just completely overexcited by the prospects of it. But when I tried to use it, I found it was a bit too complicated. I couldn't, you know, I didn't have much time. I didn't want to waste time on it. And I felt it was overcomplicated. So that's how I came at it initially. But then earlier this year, Kindle, KDP Select, stopped working as well as it used to do. I don't know if you found that, if any of your callers have found that. It used to be great. You used to be able to get thousands and thousands of free downloads, and it would boost you in the bestseller rankings, and you would keep that ranking for weeks and weeks because you were up there, you were being seen, and it was being paid. But it stopped working so well because Amazon changed the algorithm, and they also stopped free sites from getting all their affiliate money. So sales started to drop off a bit. And that's when I thought, I need to crack this Goodreads thing. So I did, and it took me about 2 months to research it and really find out how to use it as an author. So I thought, I may as well write a book about this because it might help other people and save them wasting 2 months. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, that's great. I mean, there's so many directions to take this conversation now because that's very enticing. Everyone here, I believe everyone is, well, they're definitely all writers. Most of them have books. Some have multiple books. And when I brought up the subject of Goodreads, it didn't seem that anyone has anywhere near the expertise that you have. So what can you share with us that will help us to use this fantastic tool? And, of course, getting your book is a good way to do it. What's the title again?
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't have to. My book will save you time. That's the thing. You could set it out. All the information is there if you want to go through all the help files and find out how to do it yourself. But if you don't have a lot of time, then the book would get you there much quicker. Mm-hmm. But let me give you some tips.
Great.
Anyway.
Great.
It's not like Facebook. You know, on Facebook, you're not allowed to have more than one profile. You are on Goodreads. You sign up as a user, so as an ordinary person, so you sign up as a reader. Then you claim one of your books, and that proves that you're an author, and they will convert your reader profile or your user profile into an author profile. And actually, you have two. You have a user profile that follows you around the site, so your little picture as a user will be the same as it was before you became converted into an author. But you will also have a fabulously valuable resource. You will have an author profile on Goodreads. You can add things to that, all sorts of free things, and people can contact you via that as well. And all you have to do as a user is enter one of your books into the search box. On the very top of the navigation bar, there's a search box on every Goodreads page, and you can claim that book as your own, and that's telling them that you're an author. And within a day or two, they'll have put you up an author profile. It is that simple, but it's not, when you just look at the site, it doesn't seem to be telling you that that's what to do.
I have a quick question. Now, how does it, I understand that you claim your own book to do this, but does it have to be on Amazon, or do you have to have an ISBN number, or how does it know that there actually is that book?
Yeah, because it might not be on there. That's a really good question. Books aren't automatically added to Goodreads. They had a bit of a falling out with Amazon in the past, where they used to mine Amazon's database, but then they fell out. So everybody had to add their own books to Goodreads. Now that Amazon have bought Goodreads, which, by the way, is fantastic news for us as authors, that might change. But at the moment, we still have to enter our book, either its name or the ISBN. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are just on Kindle and you don't have an ISBN, there is a link you can click to search for the ISIN instead.
Okay.
So you don't have to have an ISBN. But if you have a book anywhere, you will probably have either an ISBN or an ASIN. So that's when you can tell it that that is your book.
Okay. All right, so we become a user, then we claim our book or books.
Yes.
And then what do you do? Do you find other people and review their books, or how do you get people to look at your book, or
Of course. The best thing you can do, because this is such a valuable site, because it isn't over commercialized. So it's not like Amazon, where it's just a sales site and we try to get people to review our books on there because reviews sell books, as we all know. But Goodreads is different. It's much more of a community feel. It's a bit like Facebook for literary people. So it's all about being seen to be a reader. And I guess if we're writers, we're probably readers as well. I'm a voracious reader. I love reading, and I love talking about books. And that's what makes Goodreads so successful, because it's full of the people that we love and crave. It's full of readers. So if we can portray ourselves as readers and talk about books, then we get ourselves out there, and then we can gently start to promote our own books. But we can't do that too overtly, because they don't like that. They even have a group called Authors Behaving Badly, where they talk about authors, I think that's hilarious, who overly promote themselves and who do sneaky things. So it's really important to just go on there and just be quite relaxed about it. Put books on your virtual shelves, which is as simple as finding a book and clicking a little button underneath it which says you've read it, and that will go on your red shelf. And then you can get more complicated, create more shelves, which I would encourage you to do. You need shelves in the genres that you write in. That's important.
Okay.
But it's just about putting books on your shelves, perhaps join a few groups and chat about them. And in the meantime, start building up your profile, start adding things, start connecting with other authors and groups where authors meet. There are some fantastic groups, which I will recommend to you, where you can ask for reviews, where you can ask for early reviews before you've even published. So the resources that are on there are absolutely infinite. It's amazing, but it's just sort of sifting through them and finding the best use of your time.
Yes, exactly. And you took 2 months to figure out what that would be, and we really appreciate it.
It's a lot easier for me now. I've done that, you know, with future books. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's so wonderful to have an expert say, do this, and then we go do that.
It does help.
So as you build your bookshelves, Are you able to connect with Facebook and let your Facebook friends know about what you're reading? I think you mentioned something about that.
You are, that is a really good idea. I mean, some people keep their Facebook profile separate. They like to keep that private, and that's fine. So then don't connect with that. Connect with Twitter instead. You can use either of those.
Oh, okay.
But I've opened up my Facebook profile now because it used to be your Facebook profile was the main thing, and then you could have pages, and everybody sort of kept their Facebook profile private, and they had their pages for business things, so for authory, booky type things. But I've discovered the value of opening up my profile now, excuse me, and letting the Goodreads thing populate that, because it really does get a lot of interest, and you do find that people will go over from your Facebook profile to your Goodreads account. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to do that, there are other ways. You can put Goodreads widgets on your website and your blog, so you can use other things.
You know, I just want to throw in my own opinion here. I think opening all that up is a really good idea. I mean, if you want to have private profiles or private anything, you can either create like a secret group or go back to using the phone or meeting your friends in person. You know what I mean? It reduces that kind of schizophrenia of trying to remember, okay, well, with this group, I'm doing this. You know, with this social media, I'm doing this. And with this, I mean, I find that exhausting.
Yes.
You know, decide your brand and what you're going to do, and then just, you know, be consistent. I mean, I think the consistency is so important anyway. So.
Yes, absolutely. But I think, as an author myself, writing in a few different genres, sometimes it's quite hard to define what your brand is, and sometimes you do need a couple of them, don't you? But you will know. Yes.
Yeah, no, I can really see that. Mm. Yeah. Because, I mean, we might have someone on the line here who writes about, you know, healing or health topics, and then they want to write something like, you know, 50 Shades or something on the side. I mean, I can see wanting to keep those two separate.
Yeah, absolutely. I write children's books, so if I suddenly decide to take up erotica, I would have to keep them very separate.
Yeah, okay. Point well taken. All right.
But, you know, Goodreads makes allowances for that as well, because they don't restrict you from having more than one profile. Mm. So if you wanted to, you could have your historical author profile and push that and have it all with Tudor Roses or whatever, and you could also have your 50 Shades profile or whatever. And it, you know, it doesn't have to be as extreme as that. I write under my name, Michelle Campbell Scott. I write books on publishing and things like that, but I also write children's books under what will be my new married name. So I now am in the process of setting up those two different identities for myself, because it's less confusing for people.
Okay. Mm. Okay, that makes total sense. So do you have any tips on how to improve your profile? I'm assuming it's like LinkedIn and other social sites where when you have a robust profile, you're more visible.
Absolutely, yes. And it's not difficult. What I like about it is it's not difficult to do your profile on Goodreads once you know how. It's quite difficult when you don't know. So if you could imagine that you're looking at the Goodreads screen on your computer, there's a navigation bar atop, across the top, and assuming you're logged in, there will be a tiny little thumbnail picture of you on the far right. To the right of that, there's a little drop-down arrow, and you can click that and select Edit Profile. Now, within there, there's your user profile and your author profile, and it's quite clear because it will say click to edit author profile or click to edit the other one. So it is quite clear. And then you go to your author profile, and you will see all the resources that are there for you. So you can add videos, and it's as simple as adding the URL from a YouTube video. It's not difficult to do so. So it staggers me, actually, the number of authors who have established a presence on Goodreads, and they're doing the right things by putting themselves about, but they haven't built up their profile, and it's just like leaving money on the table.
Hmm.
It's a valuable resource, and it's not difficult. And if you don't have a book trailer or a video, pop over to Fiverr.com and get one for a fiver.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So simple.
That's a great idea.
It is. I can't understand the number of people who don't use it. And I guess, you know, because I didn't have a profile for a long time, it's because they don't know how. And they're busy. You know, we're all busy. And we have to decide what is the best use of our time. And I think if you have a look at Goodreads, I mean, if you want to buy my book, there are statistics in there to show the people that have done it, who have captured Goodreads and realized the viral potential in it. So E.L. James going back to 50 Shades, we perhaps shouldn't use that one as the only example, but she is a good example. She got the idea of Goodreads. She was going nowhere, and Goodreads have this information on their blog. It's in my book as well. Her first couple of months, she was just flatlining. Nothing was happening. Then she got a hold of Goodreads. She gave her book away in physical format. You can't give your e-book away. It has to be a paperback, but that's not difficult. So she gave her book away as a Goodreads giveaway, and that's one of the best things you can do. And it started to go viral. A couple of people read it. They wrote reviews. All their friends saw it, their friends on Facebook. They came in, and that's what happened. It's Goodreads. One of the big news stations, I don't know if it was CBS, credited the success of 50 Shades to the site Goodreads. Now, if it can happen for her, which, you know, I will not put other authors down, but I guess some books you can say are better written than others, aren't they? And 50 Shades is not literary, is it?
No.
You know, it's I'm sure there are a lot of books that have bombed, that have never been successful, which are better written, you know? But if it can do that for a book which was just popular, what could it do for your book, which you've put all your passion and effort into? It could make your book go viral. And I just think that's just the fantastic potential of Goodreads. And I think it is worth investing time into finding out how to use it and finding out the best things for you to do on there. Not to waste time. 10 minutes a day, if you can manage that, is all you need to do. But it's well worth it.
Yeah.
So, very briefly, going back to your profile, get some videos on there. If you haven't got any, pop over to Fiverr or make your own if you can. And then import your blog. If you don't have a blog, if you do have a blog somewhere else, it's as simple as getting the RSS feed and popping that into Goodreads. But if not, they've got the facility for you where you can have one actually on Goodreads, so they host it. And all you do is click write post and pop a post in there so that your blog is on there for people to be able to read. Now, people are often short of money in this economy. They're not going to, as they see it, waste money on a book of an unknown author if they don't know if they're going to like it. Now, on Goodreads, they can read your blog. They can see what you're like. They can feel like they can get in touch with you, and people want that now. They can also get a feel for what your writing is like and think, yeah, I'd like to give this person a go. Or on your profile, it might say that you've got one of your books in a giveaway, so they'll go over and click on that. Then all their friends will see that they've clicked on that. So that's why it's worth building up your profile.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to mention again, we're speaking with Michelle Campbell-Scott. And I also want to remind everybody, star 2, if you have a question for Michelle, please feel free to push star 2. We'll go ahead and open that up. We'll continue our conversation. Also, I want to mention, if there's anyone here who's not familiar with Fiverr, it's www.fivvr.com.
It is, yes, yes.
Now, you can go there and have all kinds of things made for $5. Now, why?
Yeah,
which sounds
ludicrous, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, why people do this, I don't know, but they do. So, like you said, you want a book trailer, you want this, you want that. Someone will do it for $5.
Yeah, okay, it'd be a short book trailer, but it doesn't need to be a movie length. So
right.
That's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to be always stopped by the fact that we don't know how to do something. I mean, we get in and drive a car. I get in and drive my car. I don't know how to fix a carburetor, and I don't know how to do, you know, I just get in and drive it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So we don't have to know how to do everything. We just need to know the resources, where to go to get it done.
Absolutely. And I found out about Fiverr from other authors who recommended it, and they're absolutely right. I think, you know, why people do it is they're building up their profiles. So you will get all sorts of graphic designers and video creators who need a big portfolio of work that they've done. So they will do it cheaply. And also, if you find someone great, then you will deal with them off of Fiverr and pay them proper rates.
Yeah. It's really a tool when you need something and get it done quickly and that sort of thing. But obviously, you know, when none of us can live charging $5 for all of our work. It just doesn't work that way.
No, it's not a good idea.
No. So really what we bring to the table are whatever we're doing, it's our values, it's our sense of community and connection and helping people. And those things you can't buy. It comes with someone.
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you know an awful lot about Goodreads. What else is there? What else should we be looking at or thinking about or doing?
Okay, let me recommend a couple of groups to you. So groups are a little bit like on Facebook or LinkedIn. So it's people who are members of the site who group together because they have similar interests. Now, one group that you really need to be in is called the Goodreads Librarians Group. And this is where you would post a message if you have a problem. So perhaps you're trying to claim your book and it's gone under someone else with the same name as you by mistake, you know. Mm-hmm. You would pop it in there and say, this is my problem. And all these people are volunteers, so they've been given a higher level of access to the Goodreads database because they've proved trustworthy. And within minutes, often, someone will fix your problem for you. It's fantastic. So in the past, until about a month ago, we couldn't add our own covers to our books because of the problem with Amazon. But they've changed that. And it used to be that you had to go into the Goodreads Librarians group and say, please add my cover. And someone would do it within minutes, an hour maximum. So it's fantastic. Now we are allowed to add our own covers, hallelujah. But if we then want to change the cover, if we've had a new design, we can't do that ourselves. So we have to go into the Goodreads Librarians group and say, can someone do this for me, please? So that's a real must of a group to be in. They will help you out. They're great. And you can just ask advice as well. So that's one to be in. Another one is the Making Connections group. So, and you just, on the top navigation bar in Goodreads, there is a link called Groups. If it's not there, you can just go to goodreads.com/group, and it will take you there. And then you can search for these groups. So Making Connections is for authors, bloggers, publishers, reviewers, all that kind of thing, for those people to make connections with each other. And we really need to be chasing these book bloggers. There's a massive percentage, I can't remember, I think it's about 27% of people on Goodreads are book bloggers. And this is another way for your book to go viral. If a book blogger gets a hold of your book, hopefully because you've sent it to them, then and they love it and they do a good review, that gets picked up by other people because people follow these bloggers. So this is a really, really great group. Now, in each group, there will be a discussion section. There's usually a link on the right-hand side. And in the Making Connections group, there's a section in the discussions called Authors Requesting Reviews. So you just pop a message in there to say, anyone willing to review my book? Most of the time, you can just send them a PDF, or if you want to, you can send them a physical copy. So that's a great way of getting reviews from people who are still quite independent. You know, you're not paying for them. We're not going against Amazon's terms and conditions. You're just asking them for an honest review. And they will generally put a disclaimer in to say, I received a copy, you know, the way they do in return for a review. But they are real quality reviews that come from groups like this. So that's a really great one to be in. And I would also advise you on the group thing to search within the group section for books in your genre. Because if you are in there and you're in groups that is in, so say you're historical fiction, that will be a lot of people who love historical fiction. And if you're in there chatting about Philippa Gregory's books or whatever, people will see your profile and they may come to you. They see your picture, sorry. They may then come to your profile and say, hey, she's written books along this line as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can sometimes say, hey, guys, I've got a book out. Would anybody be willing to review it? We can be gently promoting ourselves. But it's not a good idea to go onto Goodreads saying, buy my book, because
right.
You'll be shot down in flames.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody here understands that by now. It's very, it's not appealing at all when you see someone do that so blatantly, you know, promote themselves. So those are fantastic tips. Let me ask you, you may have more books to or groups to mention, but is nonfiction and fiction, are they both equally welcome on Goodreads?
They are, yeah. I think there is a perception that Goodreads is just fiction, but no, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Okay.
I actually I did a little video for YouTube on this. I don't think I've uploaded it yet, but I did some research to find out, and there are something like 200 groups for nonfiction. It was more than that, I'm sure, but such a lot of just groups.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through the sections in the different groups, you can see all these. So there'll be biography, and there's actually non-fiction, there's a tag for that. There are all sorts of different type of groups for these. And when you go through the recommendations, there's a recommendations engine which will kick in if you have more than 20 books on your shelves that you've rated, so that the Goodreads algorithm has an idea of what you like, and then it can serve up books to you based on those. So I read lots of nonfiction books because I write some nonfiction. Mm-hmm. So I get served up loads and loads and loads of nonfiction books. So, yeah, I think it's interesting that there is that misconception, and I don't really know where it's come from, but lots and lots of the very, very popular nonfiction books on there, as well as those from the rest of us as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it came from either, but I definitely had that idea that fiction was over nonfiction. I think it's, I don't know, heading into the summer and you get the perfect beach book and good reads and I don't know, that sort of thing. So anyway, that's another myth busted. So
yeah.
I really appreciate that. Also, I think it's important to point out, you mentioned historical fiction or whatever genre. Mm-hmm. Being familiar with other authors in your genre is a wonderful thing to do, because people look at your own bookshelf. Have you ever been interested in a subject and have you only bought one book on it? No. If you're interested in, I don't know, leadership or mind mapping or learning about physical fitness, you probably have more than just one book on any of those subjects.
Yeah, good point.
So we do buy, people do buy more than one. So if someone goes in for historical fiction, they're looking for lots of different things. So it's good to be present as you're saying.
And on Goodreads as well, you can, by associating yourself with other authors, with particularly with the very successful authors, and associating your book with their successful books, by, this is my top tips coming out now, having your own book, having bookshelves on your own virtual shelves, you can create bookshelves. Just click the Add New Shelf button. So if you're writing, going back to historical fiction, in historical fiction, have a historical fiction shelf, and then put the very popular historical fiction books. So what's that? Bring Up the Bodies, the Hilary Mantel one. Put these books on your shelves as well as your own book.
Ah.
What you're doing then, it's a little bit like the Amazon Listmania. It's aligning your book with the very popular ones so that your book eventually is going to be served up to people when they're asking for recommendations. So it's going to come up alongside these popular ones. You can reinforce that by going to Goodreads Listopia, which is on the navigation bar. There's a button called Explore. And next to that, there's a little drop down, and I think it's the second or third one down, is Listopia. So this is like Amazon's Listmania. And Amazon's Listmania is really underused, by the way, because it's a way of making lists and putting your book on there, aligning it with other books. Listopia is the same thing on Goodreads. So you can make lists of your own. So if you've written the Great American Novel, you can put that on your list alongside Hemingway and whoever else. And your book then is associated with all these fantastic books. You can also vote on other lists that people have done. So you can vote for the book they've put on and sneak your own onto there. So this is a fantastic untapped resource for aligning your book with these fantastically successful ones.
That's so great. It reminds me of the very old days when we actually went into bookstores, which I actually still like to do. But anyway, go into bookstores, and I'd be working with an author, and I would always take their book, and I would put it on the bestseller table, or I might put it on the staff recommends table, or I would turn it face out when it's on the shelf instead of being in there.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I'd have my clients do it too. Oh, yeah, you're going to Boston? Well, stop in here and make sure you do, you know.
Yeah.
And in fact, I put a video camera on my head once, and on a hat. And then I went in and I said, this is what we do in the bookstore. And then I showed all these things. Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's it's not illegal. It was just,
you could pay kids to do this for you.
That's even better. Paper, $5. Go in and do this.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Wow. Well, that's really wonderful information, Michelle. So okay. So you might have more on that, so I don't want to change the subject. But I do want to ask you about giveaways, Goodreads giveaways. And so is that something that you've played with, giving away your book?
For my own and for other people's books as well who I've helped out. Giveaways is an amazing, amazing resource. It's a page on Goodreads that has lots and lots of books, and each one is an individual contest. So people simply click enter to win, a button next to the book, and then they are entered into a competition to win that book. I have won giveaways myself, you know, by entering. I won a Bear Grylls book, is it, the survival expert? And the reason I won that is because I have books similar to that on my shelves that I have rated and reviewed.
Oh.
So if you want to win books, and these are physical books that you get sent in the mail, if you want to win books, you need to have books on your shelves that are in that genre, and you need to have reviewed them. Now, the reason Goodreads have this facility is that publishers and authors now know that reviews sell books, and you are more likely to get a review if you have given someone, in the form of a competition, that book. And you say, here's a book, congratulations, we'd be really blown away if you would, you would review this for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, users know that if they write reviews of books, they are more likely to win Goodreads giveaways. And don't forget that this site is populated by 16 million users currently, and it's rising fast, doubles every year. Now, these users are mostly readers who love books, who love winning books, so they all want to win giveaways, and they know that to do so, they need to put books in the genre they want to win on their shelves, and they need to review them. So if you put your book, your paperback book, up as a Goodreads giveaway, you just need to sign to say you promise to send out X number of copies, and it could be as little as one copy of a book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth, if you have only a Kindle, I shouldn't say only, it's still a book, but if your book is just in Kindle format at the moment, it's worth getting it on something like CreateSpace, if only to buy one copy yourself so that you can schedule a Goodreads giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Because each entry attracts an average of 825 people entering to win it. Most of those will add it by default to their shelves. So all their friends on Goodreads will have seen your book appear, that they've entered the giveaway to win that book. So they'll probably enter the giveaway. If they don't win, they may well buy it anyway. This is a win-win. All it will cost you is about $10. To buy your book and to mail it out to them. And you can say you will only mail it to your own country if you want. If you're in the US, you're very fortunate because most of the people who win are in the US. But I'm in the UK and I will mail to the US, Canada, or my own country because it's worth it. It's worth that postage because it really gets this massive visibility for your book. You know, people would never have thought to search for my little children's book, but if they see it on a giveaway, they'll think, great, my kid would love that, so they will enter. They don't win, oh well, never mind, I'll buy it, it's only $4 or whatever. So this is a fantastic opportunity, and I can't stress enough how valuable the Goodreads giveaway section is, and it's completely free for us as authors. All we have to pay for is the book and the mailing, so it's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's great. So have you done this with all your books?
Not all of them yet, because okay. I only cracked Goodreads earlier this year.
Okay.
I started investigating it at Christmas when I was taking some time off at Christmas, and I went through to early February, and then I started writing the book. So it's only recently that I've put my own books on there, but I've done it for other people because I do formatting and a bit of editing and proofreading for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, I'm writing this book, do you want to give it a go? You know, about Goodreads. So they've tried it and they've had phenomenal success. The number of people who enter is brilliant. Now, if you're on a budget, you can just put one book on there, so you about $10, and you can just go with the number of people who enter. If you have some more money to play around with, you can use Goodreads, what they call their self-serve advertising. So a little bit like Google pay-per-click, same sort of thing, and you can target as well, and you can boost the visibility of your Goodreads competition with that, and you can have that from as little as $1 a day, and just run it for 3 days.
Wow.
So that will boost the popularity of your book. So they reckon it will probably get another 500 people entering that competition. And in the meantime, so many people of those people who have entered will have added it to their shelves, which is making it more popular. Ultimately, when your books get very, very popular, you may come up in the Goodreads recommendation engine results, and that's what we want. Mm-hmm. Mostly, that's a very, very popular book, so that's by the authors we've heard of. But if you can get enough interest in yours, then you will be coming up to that sort of stage. So you'll be coming up when people click on, recommend me some books, lo and behold, yours will appear. Mm-hmm. We hope eventually one day. So that's what we need to aim for.
Does Goodreads ever, do they ever do any live events with authors, like interviews or?
They do. Goodreads themselves will do it because they have blogs and things, and they will interview authors for their blogs. But the groups do it as well.
Mm.
So there are lots of groups which specialize in particular genres, and they will ask an author if they would like to be in a particular event. So that they will. It's a bit like these tweeting events, where you can ask on Twitter, the authors will be asked questions, so it's a little bit like that. You can even have your own group. Now, Goodreads themselves, they're very gentle and kind, actually. They advise you not to have your own group until you have quite a decent number of fans. Otherwise, you look like a bit of a Billy No-Mates if you have a group with no people in it,
Right.
So it's quite nice the way they suggest things.
Yes.
You can be a part of a group where you can get talking to people and they will realize that you have your own books and they may suggest that they have a question and answer session with you one weekend or whatever.
Okay.
So that can work real well.
All right. I'm going to ask a very, very self-serving question, okay? I'm just prepping everybody because this applies more to me than anyone else, but I just really want to ask you this, Michelle, so forgive me, everyone. So as a publicist, I work with a lot of different authors, right? And
yeah.
I would like to help promote them in this way, go on
yeah.
Goodreads. So obviously I'm not the author herself, so I wouldn't be an author, with their books. But would you suggest just building shelves with their books and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. You can be on there as yourself, as a reader,
okay.
and have your author... The authors you represent,
mm-hmm.
really, really boost them by having them on your shelves, liking their blog posts, commenting when they make a comment in groups and things like that, because it will all come up in your news stream. So, yes, you can really give them a boost.
Okay.
And, importantly, you can get them to connect with each other so that they can all help and promote each other, and that works really well. I'm doing that in a minor way. Anyone who's bought my book will find a link in there to a private Facebook group that
mm-hmm.
I have,
mm-hmm.
and they can join that absolutely
okay.
free. So
okay.
we promote each other. So we will add each other's books to our shelves, mm-hmm. and that's perfectly valid. There's nothing against anyone's terms and conditions in doing so.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives each other more visibility.
Oh, it's networking at its finest, right?
Absolutely.
It's
this... I love modern networking. It's not like it used to be. It used to be very self-serving, but now it's about you help other people out, and eventually that trickles down to you, doesn't it? So it's about helping each other. And this is beautiful networking on Goodreads because it really is promoting each other. But when you promote somebody else, when you add their book to your shelves, lo and behold, in your news feed, which comes up to all your contacts, it says that you have added X book. So people see you. So when you're promoting others, you're also promoting yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is
wow.
just so cool.
That's great. Yes, that's great. In fact, it reminds me when I get someone like an article in like Forbes or in Fast Company or some big major publication, USA Today or a big mm-hmm. online site as well, I always suggest when they post the link so that they're communities can see it, to word it in such a way that it doesn't look like a big, oh, look at me, right? Because it's just
yes.
sort of unbecoming. So I like
yes.
to suggest something like complimenting the journalist and saying, I really love how so-and-so understood the points I was trying to make here.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so you're complimenting the other person, and then someone reads it and go, oh, well, what was said? And then they read the piece. And it's just so much better than saying, look at me.
Yeah, so, that's lovely.
Very similar. So, Michelle, I know that you have, you've offered some generous bonuses here. So why don't we launch into that a little bit here and let people know. And meanwhile, no one's asking questions at the moment, and I think it's because they're enthralled by all the
information. It's because I've been talking too much.
No, you've been wonderful. So star two, if something comes up, if something was mentioned you'd like to hear a little bit more about, we have a little more time, so please feel free. So meanwhile, you made a couple offerings. One was, okay, so tell me what you're doing on CreateSpace. You're helping people on CreateSpace?
Yeah, I wasn't going to put my books on CreateSpace because I was very happy with my Kindle sales. I'm still happy with my Kindle sales. But when I discovered Goodreads, I realized that there was value in having my books in a paperback format.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you believe the statistics, you think, oh, well, print is going out and ebooks are all the rage. They are. And ebook sales on Amazon have now overtaken print sales, so that's paperback and hardback combined. But that still means that an awful lot of paperback and hardbacks are being sold. So I think the latest statistic is something like 115 ebooks on Amazon are sold for every 100 physical books.
Mm-hmm.
Great. But that means 100 physical books are being sold at the same time as these ebooks. So not having your book on something like CreateSpace is leaving money on the table because it's not difficult. It is unless you know how to do it. But once you know how to do it, you can get your book formatted and up within an hour. I've done it live for the course I've done on Udemy. So I've got a live video I'm about to upload which shows me formatting a book, and it's in well under an hour. And once you've got it on there, which doesn't cost you a cent, doesn't cost you anything. Once you've got it on there, it will automatically align it with your Kindle book so that your Kindle book, when someone clicks on it on Amazon, it will say the Kindle price and then it will say the paperback price. So it's giving you more credibility as an author, because if you're an indie and you have a paperback as well as an ebook, you look a little bit more like a traditional author. So that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
And what people can find, and what I've found, is that having a paperback as an option, people like to have the option. Having that makes your ebook look like better value because it's necessarily going to be cheaper because you've got production costs with a paperback. So if your paperback is $9 and your ebook is $4, people who may not otherwise have bought it will think, that's a bargain. I'll get that ebook because it's not much.
Well, plus,
so you find your Kindle sales go up.
That's great. Well,
yeah,
it's great. The juxtaposition of the two prices. I just want to add that you also mentioned in this interview that having a hard copy is important for the reviews and for the giveaways.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you really want the book bloggers. So if you can get in touch with any book bloggers, who you can meet on Goodreads, or you might find them on Twitter or elsewhere, and you can offer to send them a physical copy of your book because some people prefer physical copies. To be honest, I review for people. I actually like to review on a computer because I have that wherever I go then, and that if I'm in a waiting room in the dentist or whatever, I will have my Kindle with me so I can review books there. But a lot of book bloggers want the physical copies.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
that's great to be able to send them. But if you want to do a Goodreads giveaway, it's essential. So you need at least one copy to have
okay.
a giveaway.
Okay. So first of all, you've very generously offered two free licenses to your online course of Learn How to Get Your Book on CreateSpace to give away.
Yeah.
So if anyone here on the call has been struggling or thinking about it, this is an awesome opportunity. I mean, it's free. I mean, how generous is that?
Yeah.
And you also have two courses, Goodreads for Authors and
yes.
Learn How to Get Your Book on CreateSpace on
yeah,
Udemy.
I was approached by a best-selling Udemy instructor when she read my Goodreads for Authors book, and she was like all of us. She said, yeah, I was on there, but I didn't know what to do with it. And she read the book, and then within a couple of days, it was all making sense, and she was fine, and she was away. And she said, look, there are people who like to learn from the book, and there are people who like to learn from watching and listening, and I think this book would convert well into a course. And here's another idea for everyone on the call. Would your book convert into a course? Some books will, some books won't. Obviously, fiction's not going to do very well.
Right.
But if you write nonfiction, it may be that you could consider doing something like a Udemy course or have a course that you do yourself and host on your own website, and just have it, if you have a WordPress site, it's easy mm-hmm. enough to set up a membership section.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is
kind of like what I'm doing.
Are you great? Mm-hmm. And it's another thing to do when you've already written a book, you put it out there, and you kind of, some people will just wait and see how it sells. Others will give it all they've got and promote it, which is what we need to do. But we want to just go back to the writing, don't we? We don't want to do the marketing. How about getting your book into other formats so that you're giving people options and so that you have many more ways of earning money? Now, since I've done this, my spreadsheet has got a lot more complicated. I used to just have my Amazon Kindle sales on there. Now I have my CreateSpace paperback ones. I have some books on Kobo, and I have my Udemy incomings as well. And it's got a lot more complicated, but it's wonderful because it's a lot more income. It's great. So I would guess that I have doubled my income since broadening where my books are. So
right.
I've got them on other platforms. Once my KDP contract has run out, the first 90-day one, I put them on other platforms. And I've got my CreateSpace ones. Now, these are virtually the same books. I just put them into different formats.
Mm-hmm.
And CreateSpace is so easy once you know how,
mm-hmm.
but it just doesn't make sense not to get your book on there. If you've already got a book, you've done the work, just go the extra, it's not even a mile, just go the extra quarter mile to get it on CreateSpace, and you will see some of your paperback sales, and you will see your Kindle sales go up hopefully as well. So my Goodreads for Authors book has been converted into a CreateSpace course, and lots of people like that because they can see and hear things being done live instead of just reading them in a book.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, the book is what, I don't know, $4 or $5, whereas the course is $29.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. If you're on a budget, the book is much better for you.
Yeah.
So I have Goodreads for Authors course, and I also have Learn How to Get Your Book on CreateSpace course.
Great.
So I've got two free licenses to the CreateSpace course that I would like to give to two people on the call.
Wonderful.
I don't know how you want to do that.
I think, let's see, yeah, that's a good question. Let's say the first two people to send an email.
Yep, right.
It could come to me. I think everybody has my email, joanne@joannemccall.net. Or what is your email address, Michelle? Would you prefer a different way?
It's fine. Okay. The one I use mostly is Michelle Booth Author. So it's michellebooth @gmail.com.
And we'll just see the timestamps. If we get more than two, we'll go by the timestamps on the emails as to when they
arrive. Yeah.
That's great. You know, we have a couple of questions too, Michelle. So it's about 3 minutes till the top of the hour. I really respect everybody's time, and I don't like to go over, although I've allowed for a little extra time, but I want to honor yours too, Michelle. Let's take our two questions and then just see where we are, and we can wrap it up at that point. Does that sound okay to you?
That's great, yes.
Okay, so let's, first of all, I believe we've got our anonymous caller. I'm not sure who this is. Hello?
It's presumably me.
Yes. This is Vernon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for your information. Just a couple of very quick questions. The one is, can you do Goodreads giveaways on electronic books?
No,
unfortunately not. They say that they don't have the logistics for it because it would be overly complicated, and they like the physical format because they can keep track and make sure that you send them out.
Mm-hmm.
That if it was Amazon, it would be different because you could just, you know, do some sort of code, couldn't you? But Goodreads is still quite separate from Amazon at the moment, and they don't have that facility yet.
Okay, so that was the one. The second one is, how would you go about doing press releases linked with Goodreads?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good... I used to work in PR, actually. I'm a big fan of press releases. obviously, you'll be distributing them in some format anyway, and you can put that link, you can put the whole press release onto your profile in the form of your blog. So you can put the body of that press release. You might edit it slightly, I don't know, into a post on your blog on Goodreads on your profile. So that will appear on your profile and will be there for everybody to see if they visit your profile, and it will also appear as in their news stream because you've put it on there. And you can also add little bits of information to say it was lovely to say, you know, as Joanne said, it's about being tactical and polite. So you can say it was lovely to see that X magazine has picked up on my press release this week, and put a link to where it has been placed as well.
All right. And then I couldn't hear certain things. You spoke about Udemy, but I wasn't quite sure. How do you spell that?
Yes, of course. Udemy.com.
And so that, the other one was Fiverr.com.
Right.
Fiverr, yeah. I think it's Fiverr.com.
Okay.
It's
All
an
right.
amazing resource, Fiverr.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, Vernon. Is that good?
Thank you. That's what I wanted to find out. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for your questions, Vernon.
All right, and then we've got another hand up, I believe, Susan?
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good.
Hi, Michelle. It's so nice to hear your talk. I was trying to do it online as you were talking, and I think I should have probably just taken notes because I was getting pretty confused. But it's such a great idea. I mean, I was on Goodreads before, but I never – really thought about going and putting on my own books and anything
yeah,
like that.
I
so.
Think that shows you're normal. I think we're all like that until
good.
We found out.
Well, good, I'm normal. Well, thank you so much. I just really wanted to say that, and I already sent Joanne an email about how interested I am in the Create Space course that you have, because
Good.
I'm pretty slow at going through these, and I can sometimes figure them out, but I think I put my own book for one of the books I've read instead of that I've authored the book, so I need to kind of
well, you
I'm
know,
like, oh no.
if you go into the Goodreads Librarians group, if you join that, you can just put a request in and just say, please help. You know, I don't know what I'm doing here. And they will assist you. Yeah, they can fix
that
for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Susan, you'll also have access to the recording, Susan, so you can listen to it again. Because it was a lot of information, wonderful information.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful information.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's great hearing your voice, too.
Oh, thank you.
So, Michelle, one last question before we wrap here, and it has to do with the fact that you went in and you decided to crack the code for Goodreads. And I just want to ask you this because I think we all face it when we want to learn a new piece of technology or a new platform or something. What is it, how do you go about developing the persistence and the motivation to just going in and doing it and then writing a book? Do you have any little tips about that?
That's interesting because why it's interesting for me is that I'm struggling with a book at the moment. And I think sometimes a friend of mine is an NLP trainer, and she says sometimes we have, I forget what she calls it, but we have procrastination for a reason. There's something at the back of our mind that stops us. And the opposite also happens. So sometimes you might have a little doubt or you might be waiting for something. Now, the book that I am trying to finish at the moment, I discovered something just a few days ago that desperately needs to go in that book, and I'm so glad that I hadn't finished it earlier.
Mm.
Now, the opposite was true with Goodreads. Because I wanted to crack the code, because I work full-time as an author and as a course developer, and I have bills to pay, you know? I've got dogs to feed.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to make sure that my Kindle sales didn't drop, and I wanted to... I think there's nothing like need for giving you motivation. And J.K. Rowling says that, the Harry Potter author, when she was writing the first Harry Potter book, she wasn't starving, but she had the money that she had, she spent on her baby. She was cold. They didn't, you know, that motivated her to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as long as your stress levels aren't so high that you can't even think, then neediness is a good thing. It does motivate you.
Mm-hmm.
So my need was to find a way to promote my books so that I could get better sales, because I thought, this is great. I want more, you know. So And things were changing, where people were saying KDP is changing and the free promotions aren't going to be working as well. So I wanted to find out how to use Goodreads for myself very quickly, and it wasn't quick. My daughter works in a bookstore, and she works part-time, so when she wasn't at work, I was getting her to help me with research and finding which authors were doing it well and what they were doing and how I could emulate that. When I had done all that research, I didn't want it to, not to go to waste, but I didn't want to be selfish. And I thought this could help other people. And it's the networking thing. If it's helping others, it's helping you as well. So in giving people my research, they're giving me a few dollars for my book. So it's a win-win situation. And I think as far as motivation is concerned, having bills to pay is one of the best motivations that there can be.
Hungry. Being hungry.
Yeah, exactly. My bank has just called in my overdraft. And I am a little bit overdrawn because bills go out at different times of the month. So I'm thinking, right, I need to get this next book finished. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But as I mentioned earlier, if you're in the really, really awful stress, you can't even think. I'm going through a divorce, and when things have been really, really awful with my ex-husband because he's got mental problems, I can't write. It's dreadful. And then I think is where you need other people, so you've got that accountability. So I have people that I go to and say, hey, I'm really struggling, and we'll chat, and they'll say, come on, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the things that you do for your authors, is it that you really encourage them and keep them going.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we all need that kind of help. We all need each other. It's all about collaboration now and community and sharing with each other and then helping one another along the way. So
Yes, absolutely. I
really want to thank you, Michelle. Michelle Campbell-Scott, our guest today. You were wonderful and so appreciate all your information. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed it.